For making the time to be part of our Sunday evening devotional. Again, this was just an opportunity that I foresaw to be able to spend some more time in God's Word and in prayer together. As the weeks unfold, as we get better at using some of these tools, we may expand a little bit what we do in the course of our devotional service. But tonight, my intention is to spend a few moments in prayer, and then to have a Bible study together that will continue the topic of hope that we began to examine this morning from John chapter 12. So we're going to be in Romans here this evening, and I would encourage you to have a Bible available, because we're going to be flipping around a fair bit in the book of Romans. But as we get started here tonight, I'm going to read some of those verses that are so encouraging from Romans chapter 8. And so Paul writes in Romans 8, beginning with verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we are thankful this night for the Redeemer, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one whom you have given so that we might belong to you forever. We thank you, O God, that because of his work, nothing in all creation can separate us from your love. Father, we rejoice that if you are for us, that truly there is no one who can be against us. God, we thank you for the work of our Savior, the one who not only has died to take away our sin, but whoever lives as our mediator at your right hand, making intercession for us, declaring time after time that those who call upon his name are found cleansed by his blood and clothed in his righteousness. Father, we thank you for the confidence that we have tonight, the confidence that comes from knowing that through Jesus Christ we belong to you forever. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to show mercy to this weary and sin-sick world. Even, Lord, as the numbers of fatalities here in the U.S. from the virus now draw near to 10,000. We plead for your mercy, for your compassion. We pray, O Lord, that you would restrain the ravages of this virus. We pray that you would use the medical technologies and the other means that are available to us to limit the full extent of the damage that it otherwise might do. God, won't you please show us mercy in this desperate time of need? And Father, in these moments of need, we pray that the message of what our sin deserves would not be lost upon us, that we would recognize that in this broken world, nothing that we experience is excessive. Nothing goes beyond what we deserve on account of our sin. And so, Father, we pray that we would be humbled as your people, and that the world around us might hear your call, the opportunity even in this present time of trial, to repent and to draw near to you while there is time. Father, we pray that there would be many who would seek the Lord while he may be found. Heavenly Father, we pray for the ongoing work of your church, even in the midst of the difficulties that we face. God, won't you grant us creativity? Won't you give to us compassion? Won't you move us so that we would reach out to those around us who might find themselves very suddenly in acute need? Father, we know that even in these hardships, there is opportunity. And we pray that as your people, we would be prepared to take advantage of every opportunity, every open door that you lay before us. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight especially for those whom we love and care for who are suffering body and soul. God, we know that even as these things on a global scale take place, that does not erase the fact that there are needs that we have that are very personal and very much related to our community of faith here. God, we pray that you would strengthen and uphold, that you would guide and guard, that you would keep us and protect us. Lord, tonight we would pray especially for Barb Reams' brother Doug and his girlfriend Colleen. We have prayed many times over the past number of years for Colleen's health in particular, as she has been struggling against cancer. God, even as we've received word that she is in intensive care and is in very serious condition even today, we pray that your mercy would be extended to her. We pray that if it is your will, that you would extend the number of her days. Father, we pray as there is some uncertainty as to whether she has received Christ as her Savior and as her Lord. We pray, God, even here at this very dangerous moment, this moment towards the end of her life, that your Holy Spirit would make her heart alive to the claims of the gospel, and that she might face even the reality of death with the hope that comes through Jesus Christ alone. Father, we are grateful for the way in which you have been working in Doug's life, Barb's brother. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to strengthen him and uphold him. We know that this is such a difficult time for him. God, we pray that you would continue to draw him near to yourself, and this good work that you've begun in him, that you would carry it through even to completion in Christ Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come together this evening around your word, that you would strengthen us by its truths. We pray, Lord, as always, that when we turn to Scripture, when we open the pages of the Bible, that everywhere we would see Jesus, that our faith would reach out to him, that our hearts would pulse with love and joy in him, and that you would help us even this very night to find the hope that he alone can offer. We thank you and we praise you this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'd like to do is read some verses from Romans chapter 15 here tonight, verses again that continue to talk about the topic of hope. I'll read verses 1 through 13 of Romans chapter 15, but pay a special attention to verse 4 and verse 13 as I read. So Romans chapter 15, beginning with the first verse. Paul writes, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And so I trust that you heard here in Romans chapter 15, Paul's repetitious use of the word hope. Verse 4, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Verse 12, in him will the Gentiles hope. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That Paul would refer to God as the God of hope, the God who would share hope, the God from whom hope would flow abundantly into the lives of his people. Well, before thinking what Paul writes about here in Romans chapter 15, there are other places in Romans that Paul speaks about hope. And I want to take just a moment to introduce the idea of hope from what Paul has said in other places. We find in Romans chapter 8 that Paul talks about hope. Paul writes in verse 24, now hope that is seen is not hope. For hope, who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Hope is a certainty of what God will yet give us, even though we don't currently experience it to the fullest extent. The idea of hope is future looking. It is looking into the future with a certainty that God will indeed provide what he has promised, even though we don't have it to the fullest extent right now. Now, it's different than sometimes how we talk about hope when we think about the future, because sometimes when we use the language of hope, we talk about things that we are wishing would happen, but we have no real certainty. We might be saying right about this point, boy, I really hope that the kids are going to be able to go back to school before the end of the year. Or maybe looking further into the summer, we might say, I hope things return to normal so that we can take the vacation that we have already scheduled. Or we hope that things will come back to normal so that people can get back to work. Those are things that we are wishful for. We want them to take place, but at the same time, that they would happen in the way that we are longing for, there's no certainty in that. But here, when Paul talks about hoping for something that we don't yet see, but waiting for it with patience, he's talking about something that will certainly come to pass, but is not yet ours, but it shall be because of God's faithfulness and promises. Paul's already given us an illustration of this in Romans chapter 4. And he talks about the experience of Abraham. And he says in Romans 4, verse 18, that Abraham in hope believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. But he had to hope against hope because when God made that promise, and for many years afterwards, it didn't seem like there was any possibility that he and Sarah, his wife, could have a child. But even though there were some stumbles along the way, he held fast in hope, knowing that God was able to do what he had promised. And so that's the first thing we need to remember about hope tonight, that it is a certainty that God will grant us the things that he has promised, even though we don't have them fully right this moment. Well, what is it that God has promised? The hope that Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 5 is actually breathtaking in what he says is true for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 5, beginning with the first verse, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, Paul has very famously said in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's who we are by nature. That's who we are as sinners, as rebels, those whose sinful minds are enmity towards God. We fall short. We are excluded from the glory of God. Rather than knowing his glory, rather we know his judgment. Paul says that through Jesus, the hope that we have, because we are justified by the work of Christ, we are reconciled to God, living at peace with him rather than at war with him. The hope we have is hope of the glory of God. That we would have the hope that we would personally experience the glorious presence of the true and living God forever and ever and ever. That is the hope that God has begun to work out in us, but which we do not yet fully possess. Now, this is not only something that is for us individually. It comes indeed with a kind of cosmic scope to it. Going back to Romans chapter 8, Paul says in verse 20 that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, creation was placed under a curse. It is fallen in spite of its beauty, in spite of the ways that it continues to declare the glory of God. All creation was impacted by the sin of our first father. Paul is saying here, the hope that is found in Christ is not only hope for us personally to receive glory in God's presence forevermore, but it is a hope that touches the fullness of the created realm, that the created realm will share in the redemption that God pours forth upon those who are his children by his adopting grace. What an amazing thing to know that we who have hope in Christ, hope of glory, will live out that hope eternally in a gloriously renewed creation. And that is the hope that we have even tonight. Well, how can we have this hope? Paul speaks of how that hope can be ours in Romans chapter 5, when he tells us we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul always wants us to know that the reason for our hope is because of the work of Jesus for our sake. That work that in many ways is finished, it is an accomplished work, that work in which he bore our sin on Calvary's cross, that work when we trust in him by which his righteousness is credited to our account, a work that is ongoing as he refashions us in the fullness of who we are by his work of sanctification through the Spirit. But all things are because of Jesus. It is through him that we have hope, the hope of the fullness of what God will do for us and the fullness of what God will do for all creation. And Paul, in the verses that we want to spend a few moments talking about here now from Romans chapter 15, clearly points us to that work of Jesus through whom we have hope. He tells us there in verse 3, that Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus didn't come into the world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He laid aside his interests. He didn't live to please himself. He came to please the Heavenly Father and to serve our interests as those who needed his grace. The Apostle Paul says something very similar in verse 8, where he says, I tell you that Christ became a servant. Christ entered the world to serve us, to lay down his life. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And as Jesus says in John chapter 10, that is the reason the Father loves him. And so tonight, as we think about hope, we know that hope is always found in the person and work of Jesus, our Redeemer. So what's so interesting to me about verse 4 and verse 13, which both talk, again, about the hope that is ours through the gospel of Jesus Christ, is in many ways these verses describe two different paths to the very same destination. Verse 4, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement we might have hope. That's one path. But verse 13 describes a different path. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Hope in both cases is the destination. That is where the journey comes to an end. But notice there are two very different paths that are described. It's almost as if the path that's described in verse 4 is a difficult path, up over and through the mountains, where the path at times is difficult and rocky, where there are obstacles underfoot, where there are fallen trees to climb over, where there are dark corners, and there are moments even when the clarity of the path seemingly disappears and it's uncertain how to proceed forward. It's a hard path. Meanwhile, verse 13 is a very different sort of path. It's a path through a green meadow with the sun shining and a refreshing, rippling brook just beside you all along the way. It's a path of joy and peace and comfort. But the amazing thing here, Paul says, both of these paths, if we take hold of what God has for us in the gospel, can lead us to hope. So notice what Paul says here in verse 4. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The idea of endurance clearly implies that kind of steadfast perseverance, even in the midst of difficulty. Paul uses this word endurance, translated in the English Standard Version as patience, in verse 12 of Romans chapter 12, where he says, rejoice in hope and be patient, or be enduring in tribulation. And so here in verse 4 of chapter 15, when he talks about endurance, when he talks about encouragement, what is encouragement? Encouragement is to be endowed with courage. Or other versions have the idea of comfort. What is comfort? Comfort is to be given strength. Paul says that God, the God of endurance and encouragement, the God who gives steadfast perseverance and courage, that when we take hold of what he has for us, he leads us to hope. Now, this might seem very strange at first glance, the idea that having to endure tribulation, the idea that having to persevere through hardship, the idea of facing things that are fearful, so that we need a healthy dose of courage, that would lead us to hope. Well, what Paul is pointing us to is how it is that hope is found because of what we read about in verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. In other words, the endurance and the encouragement that we need are found in the person of God himself. So that in those moments when we are fearful, and in those moments when we are facing tribulation, when we cry out to God and find in him all the resources that we need, the very experience that we might have assumed would crush us actually serves to confirm us. It builds us up. It strengthens us. We lean into God and we find that he is steady and strong and loyal and steadfast. And the very thing that was a burden becomes, in God's grace, a wonderful source of hope. Maybe something in your own life comes to mind in exactly that regard. Something where you can look back at now and you realize that though it was so difficult at the time, that by God bringing you through it, you were confirmed and strengthened in the love of the true and living God because of his nearness, his precious presence, and his abiding promises. Paul says those things that otherwise would crush us because of God's grace, when he brings us through them, we find hope. But notice that Paul says here that the endurance and encouragement come through the scriptures. And he has just mentioned a verse from Psalm 69, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me, a verse that David could have applied to himself as he took his relationship with God very seriously, and people actually mocked him for it in his own day, a verse here that Paul is applying to Christ, Jesus who came into the world submitting to the will of the Father, representing God the Father in all things, pleasing him perfectly, and yet reproached for that serious-minded devotion to the will of God. And Paul says we look at the scriptures, and the scriptures are filled with promises, and the scriptures are filled with principles, and the scriptures are filled with people who have gone before us, who have persevered, and who indeed in Christ have been more than conquerors. And so Paul says, as we lean into God, where are we going to find the assurance that he is there for us? We find that assurance through what has been written in the scriptures for our instruction. And I hope, especially during this time, that you are turning again and again to the Word of God, and that in its pages you are finding promises and great principles and great persons, people of faith, those who have gone before us, who have walked with God and found him to be faithful, and that you are gleaning encouragement and perseverance from the Scripture. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to dive back into your Bibles in a way that you haven't for a long time. Maybe you find yourself having more time than normal because life has slowed down because of the restrictions that we're under. It's a wonderful time to dive back into God's Word. Or maybe in your vocation, you're busier than ever. But being busier than ever means it's more important than ever to turn to God's Word because you need that strength. You need what he can provide for you and for all his people in the Scripture. And so that's one path. It's a hard path. But when we find God with us there in that path, that hard path actually confirms us in a way that brings hope. But verse 13 gives us that other path to hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Paul talks a couple times in Romans about joy and peace together. And one of those places is in the previous chapter, chapter 14, verse 17. He says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, here's another path towards hope. It's a path that is filled with peace and joy. And of course, we have all sorts of moments where we feel at peace. Life feels that it is as it ought to be. Those moments when we have happiness and joy in all sorts of things here under heaven. And yet Paul is talking about the peace and joy that are characteristic of the advancing of Christ's kingdom in the hearts and lives of his people. He's talking about those moments when God, who would fill us with peace and joy, in those moments of prayer when we feel that God is so near, in those moments of worship, maybe privately or maybe corporately with God's people, when God's presence is so palpable, so tangible, those moments of obedience, where we know that God, through his Holy Spirit, has enabled us and equipped us to do things that in our own strength we could never do. Those moments when it is so evident that the kingdom of heaven is about life and light and joy and peace. Paul is saying that those things lead us to hope as well, because those things are a foretaste of what is to come. Those moments, and sometimes they pass way too quickly here in this present age. We wish we could hold on to them, and so many times we find that as quickly as they come, they also seem to go away. And yet the memory of them, the echo of them, the way in which they continue to inhabit our hearts and our lives, those things remind us of what is around the corner, when God will dry every tear, when God will do away with everything that would harm us, when God would walk with us in the new heavens and the new earth, that place where righteousness dwells. And so we have a taste of those things even now. And as we experience them, oh, how that fills us with hope, that every good thing that God has promised that we don't yet experience, he will certainly provide in his good time. And notice, as Paul spoke about the instrumentality of the Holy Scriptures in the first instance, here he talks about the agency of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The Holy Spirit, who is the very down payment guaranteeing everything that is ours to come, that inheritance that is ours in Christ, that the Holy Spirit would live in our hearts and live among us as the people of God. Oh, what a foretaste he provides of the fullness of what is ours forevermore in Jesus Christ. Well, as we think about this hope that comes through two different paths tonight, I want to end with just the thought of how practical a matter this hope is. Because here, as Paul talks about this hope, he is talking to the church in Rome about the necessity of living out their gospel hope in such a way that they would have complete unity, that they would live in total harmony. Notice again, verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And Paul's connection between harmony and unity and hope seems to be that the idea is that as our hope is so settled and fixed upon what God will yet give us in Christ Jesus, and as that is the journey of our life, and as we are heading towards the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope of the glory of God, and the hope of all creation being set free from futility and bondage. Oh, as we are engaged in that hope, we will live in harmony side by side. We all have the same goal, you see. We are all on the same journey. Sometimes our paths are different. For some tonight, maybe it is the hard path of endurance and encouragement. For others, it might be the easy path of joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. But regardless, we are all going to that same glorious destination. And Paul says we are to encourage each other and be there for one another and receive and welcome each other and be in complete accord with each other and ultimately lift up our voices as one to declare the praises of the God who has saved us by his grace in Christ. And so what an important message for us tonight. And we might have to work harder than usual at this unity. It might take more effort for us to welcome one another to the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And yet what we're doing right now, and what we'll do in this coming week through praying with each other and for each other, and calling each other and writing notes to each other, and texting one another and emailing one another, and maybe even, as occasion allows, seeing one another in person. Those things are ways in which we can receive one another as Christ has received us. And may God, through the hope that he gives to our hearts tonight, may he work such unity at Cornerstone Church, for we are the people of Jesus. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the hope, the real hope that is ours in Christ. And we pray tonight, dear God, that you would renew us in the certainty of that hope. Perhaps for a lot of different reasons, Our hope feels shaky this evening. It feels like it is not built upon a solid foundation, and we wonder if it might even collapse. Father, help us to know that our hope is built on Jesus, on his blood, on his righteousness, and he indeed is the solid rock and the firm foundation for our hope. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight knowing that for some of us, we are making our way to hope through the pathway of endurance and steadfast perseverance and encouragement and comfort, those fearful things that we face, those difficult paths that sometimes are before us. Father, others of us are coming and we are experiencing peace and joy even at this time because you are so good to draw near to your people. And to give us a foretaste of heavenly glory. But Father, we pray, whatever our path is at this time, that we would understand our unity in the gospel, our unity as the people of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight in hope in this coming week to live out that unity for the glory of our Savior. Father, I thank you for each and every one who has taken a few moments tonight to be able to come together around your word and prayer. Won't you bless us through these means of grace so that we indeed might have hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.